Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Carl Walker Hoover was just 11 years old when he took his own life. He hung himself after being subjected to anti-gay bullying by his classmates at a Springfield, Massachusetts charter school last year. In the last month, at least six more young men around the country have committed suicide after being harassed because they were perceived to be gay. And hundreds of gay rights and youth advocates gathered in front of the State House in Boston last week for a candlelight vigil to remember some of those lost.
Carl Walker Hoover. Jaheim Herrera. Justin Auberg.
To encourage young people facing anti-gay bullying not to give in to suicidal thoughts, the sex advice columnist Dan Savage recently started an online campaign called It Gets Better. Everyone from celebrities to ordinary people have posted thousands of encouraging videos online as part of that effort. And Massachusetts passed an anti-bullying law this year aimed at stopping kids from harassing each other in and out of school. But at a gubernatorial forum on issues facing young people held last night at English High School in Jamaica Plain, one young woman said anti-gay bullying is still common in her school.
My name is Alan Sharonfont, and I go to school at City on a Hill Charter School. Personally, I think that it definitely is a big issue, especially within my school. Even though racism doesn't look the same way that it does in the 50s, homophobia doesn't look the same way that it does now, and heterosexism doesn't look the way that it did then.
Arlene Baldwin, and I go to the English High School. I don't think that males would be accepted. I see a lot of females here who actually hold hands with their girlfriend and they accept it. But males, I don't think people in the school would accept them. I mean, I personally, I would accept them, but I know a lot of the other students, they wouldn't take it for males. They'll probably pick on them, call them names. But as far as females go, they'll be down with it. And that's the sad part. Yeah, it's a double standard. It's definitely sad, though.
Listeners, let us know if you've had experience with anti-gay bullying. We want to know if you're worried about how you may be perceived at school or how your kids may be perceived at school. We want to know if you think the state's new anti-bullying law will help or if anything can help and what those things might be. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us to talk more about these recent suicides by gay teens and about the continuing challenges of growing up gay in Massachusetts is Ann Coleman. She's a board member for Join the Impact Massachusetts. That's a grassroots organization that promotes gay rights. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ann.
Thank you, Sasha.
We also have two gay young people with us from Massachusetts. One is Danesia Yancey. Danesia Yancey. She's a recent graduate of Newton South High School. She's also a member of the Boston Alliance for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Youth. Welcome, Danesia.
Hi.
And we have Keegan O'Brien. He's a student at UMass Boston, and he's a member of the school's Equality Coalition. Thanks for coming in, Keegan.
Hey there.
I want to start by getting some background from each of you. Danesia, you just graduated from Newton South High School earlier this year.
Yes.
You're 18 now,
yep.
I think. What was your experience like in school being a gay teenager in high school?
Well, high school actually was pretty okay. I didn't really face much harassment. I did have friends who did. Middle school was difficult. I've been out since eighth grade, and I actually started the only GSA in a public middle school in Massachusetts at a middle school in Newton, and that was really difficult. We had a lot of issues with our principal, just not thinking that kids that young could make those decisions or want to start a club to support each other.
And in high school, did you find that Newton South was a place where it didn't feel uncomfortable to be a gay teenager?
For the most part, I went to North and South, and I had friends who did have issues with isolated incidences, but for the most part, I think Newton has done a pretty good job of creating a safe environment for folks.
And Keegan O'Brien, you went to school in suburban Boston, Wellesley High School, I believe. What was your experience like being a gay male teenager at Wellesley High School?
Wellesley High School itself wasn't too difficult. I experienced the occasional name calling, but it was much more so in middle school. I think more just the general culture of homophobia and sexism that existed at the school made me feel really closeted and ashamed with myself and didn't feel comfortable to come out.
You think there was that general culture at the school?
Absolutely. In middle school, 100%.
Middle school, but not high school?
Correct, yeah.
I imagine the two of you have heard about these recent suicides by gay teens. Did the two of you feel affected by that? Do you still feel close enough to those years that it hit home in some way?
Absolutely. I work for, as you said, Bagley, and we work with youth all the time. And while my experience going to school in Newton was not as bad, we do have youth that go to school all across the state, and every school system isn't the same, and they do have lives that are very difficult.
And Keegan?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I myself was suicidal in middle school and in freshman year because of the homophobia and the bullying. Luckily, I didn't go forward with that, but it's something I really, really connected with.
Keegan, when you talk about the bullying, give us some examples of what happened to you. What kind of things did you put up with in school?
Well, I wasn't out in middle school, but I think it was just the general culture of homophobia. I mean, using words like faggot and gay, dyke regularly, putting down men who didn't fit this gender role that society expected of them, was just really pervasive and wasn't really questioned.
I think some people think that there's a sense that this generation of young people, your peers in high school, being gay is not a big deal to them. But you're saying that, at least in your case, Keegan, it didn't feel like it was accepted as some people think this generation has accepted being gay.
Yeah, it was mixed. I mean, some people were very accepting of it. I have a large group of friends who are primarily straight and are very accepting of it. But they're, I mean, still you experience the name-calling and the bullying.
And Dinesia, do you have examples, concrete examples of things that happened in middle school to you?
Issues with my principal just totally being against any sort of group happening. But as I said at the vigil, it is easier in 2010, but is by no means easy to be an LGBT person, young person at all.
Did the two of you feel that growing up in Massachusetts, where same-sex marriage is legal, the first state to make same-sex marriage legal, does that make being gay easier in other parts of the country? And I realize that may be hard for you to answer if you've only lived in Massachusetts. Do you have a sense of whether being in Massachusetts is better or worse or no different?
Well, I mean, I think the suicide of Tyler Clementi in New York City really speaks volumes to that, right? It's one of the largest metropolitan cities in the United States, one of the largest out LGBT populations. You still here have this 18-year-old gay youth who jumps off a bridge and kills himself. And I think I think the bigger fact is that regardless of where you live, we have a homophobic culture that I think is incredibly normalized and reinforced by our federal government, actually, that denies LGBT people their basic civil rights and still condemns them to a sort of status of second-class citizenship.
Listeners, we're talking about the recent rash of suicides among young gay teens around the country. We have two gay teens in the studio, and we're talking to them about what their experiences were like in high school. We've just heard one say he felt that there was a homophobic culture in his high school. We want to know that has been your experience, what you think we can do about it. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I mentioned earlier that the sex columnist Dan Savage has started this online campaign called It Gets Better. And this campaign lets people post videos telling young people that even though things might be bad now if you're gay, even though you may be getting harassed now, that will change after high school. That's his message. Here's a bit of one of those videos. And this one is from members of the cast of the musical Wicked.
Never let anyone tell you that you're not special. Going through what I went through and sticking through it and surviving helped me learn that I can get through anything.
It all gets better.
It gets better.
It gets better.
It'll all get better. It does.
As the two of you listen to this, when you think back to when you were going through hard times in school, would hearing this have helped you feel better?
Not at all. Actually, we've had many discussions at Bagley about this campaign. There actually is another one that is Make It Better that we found to be way more relevant to youth today, that it's all encompassing of the different issues that LGBT youth face that aren't just bullying, and also provide options for what you can do now. Kate Bornstein, who is a transgender activist, has provided people with ways to make it better, not to just deal with it and get through and put your head down, because after high school, you never know, and it might not get better. So,
and Keegan, would that have helped you when you were going through hard times, this kind of campaign?
No, not really. I don't think so. I mean, I think what's problematic with it is it accepts this notion that we have to accept homophobia in youth culture and in our society in general. when in reality we actually need to stand up and fight against it. But I think in addition to that, it doesn't just get better when you get older, right? In the majority of states in this country, or 20 some odd states, it's still completely legal to be fired or not hired based on your perceived or known sexual orientation. In 40 some odd states, because of your gender identification or presentation, right? That doesn't get better, right? Mm-hmm. That's real inequality that's affecting the lives of millions of LGBT people.
I want to bring in the third person I mentioned earlier that we also have with us in the studio, and that's Ann Coleman. She's a board member for Join the Impact Massachusetts. It's a grassroots organization that tries to promote gay rights. And when you listen to that message to teens, if you're gay in high school, don't worry, it may be bad now. It's not going to be bad always. Do you think that's effective?
No, and it's actually really interesting. I like the connection to make it better because at the end of one of our organizing meetings, we meet every week on Monday nights, we actually filmed ourselves for the It Gets Better. And every single story that came out from the grassroots activists was it only got better when we actually took action towards winning our civil rights. So, you know, I came out in 1996 and it was Don't Ask, Don't Tell that I was organizing around. And here we are, you know, 17 years later, still fighting this. But the fact that we were actually being a part of something is what really, you know, shows that in practice how to make it better. And I think having a loud public campaign of grassroots activists speaks volumes to the youth as far as that people are willing to stand up. And I think we have to connect our issues around things like, you know, the Defense of Marriage Act to the youth issues and not ever see them as separate, but see the struggle as one struggle.
Massachusetts has a new anti-bullying law passed this year. It doesn't specifically mention gay kids, but do you think that anti-bullying law could help in the situation of a gay kid being bullied?
To be honest, it falls pretty short from the standpoint of it doesn't include transgender youth, and it doesn't come with funding. And I think that, you know, there's proactive programs that need to be done, everything from better sex ed to, you know, actually training teachers and administration on how to handle a diverse group of students. And so I think, you know, without having any funding to back it, it doesn't really have too much teeth right now.
It's more symbolic in your view.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring in a caller from Concord. This is Alex from Concord. And Alex, you say that you are gay and that in middle school you were suicidal.
I was. When I was in middle school, I came out and just everyone was so against it. And then, like you said, Keegan, I could relate to it in that I was suicidal in middle school and freshman year of high school. And then in high school, I went to a school that was had about 40 people in it, so it was very small. And I tried to start a GSA there. And the one interesting thing was that the teachers there were very open and accepting of it, but the students were very volatile against it. Like they really hated the idea of that, and they tried to fight me off.
Alex, let me jump in and say it. The GSA, I assume you're referring to a Gay Straight Alliance at your school.
Yeah.
You came out
yeah.
in middle school. That seems to me, at least years ago, would have been an early time to come out. Do you find that that's happening more?
My situation was different because I was kind of forced out of the closet.
In what?
It's complicated. But
okay.
I guess in the long run, I was glad that I came out that young so that my family could get used to the idea because at the time when I came out, my parents were both registered Republicans and Roman Catholic.
Ah, so the family situation might have made it tough too.
Yeah, it was very tough. That was one of the main reasons, too, that I was very depressed.
Sure. Alex, thank you. Thank you for that call. Ann Coleman, related to Alex's call, although, as we said, the state's anti-bullying law doesn't specifically mention gay teens, the State Department of Ed did recently issue guidelines on how schools can create anti-bullying plans, and those guidelines said keep an eye on students who are gay because they might be kids who are specifically targeted. Do you think that could be helpful for preventing anti-gay bullying?
I guess it's kind of hard to look at the any sort of anti-bullying legislation separate from the things, and I hate to sound like repeating it, but, you know, at the federal level, when we have the Defense of Marriage Act and the Don't Ask, Don't Tell on the books, that actually condones homophobia in society in general. And so, you know, these are all, in a sense, steps to be better, but I think we've got to be looking at bigger issues at the same time.
We have another caller. This is Stan from Lexington. And Stan, you're president of the Greater Boston Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays?
That's correct.
So what are your recommendations for a situation like this?
Well, I think it's important to note that the recent spate of suicides and violent attacks is nothing new. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts mm-hmm. publishes data every 2 years on the state of risk of gay youth. And it's alarming, and it gets no attention at all. Mm-hmm. There was published in 2008 a report by the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services, with 23 recommendations on suicide prevention for LGBT youth, and not one state has adopted those recommendations. So what's happening now, and given what's going on in schools, really, I guess the best that can be said is about these tragic suicides and attacks is that at least people are paying some attention, but it's not new news.
Stan, thanks for that. Dineja, you were nodding. You were actually verbally saying yes throughout this. What's your perspective on that?
I totally agree. I think that it's great that these issues are getting attention, but it is reactionary attention. It's not proactive. And just in regards to what Anne said, the bigger picture, I think that this is the bigger picture for young people. I think that the bullying, homelessness, joblessness, the intersectionality of oppression that goes on, this is our bigger picture. When we talk to youth at Bagley, marriage isn't on their agenda. Don't Ask, Don't Tell isn't really on their agenda.
And Bagley is the Boston Area Gay Lesbian Youth Alliance that you work for.
Yes. Yes.
Keegan, what do you feel like people should do to try to prevent bullying, if not just sort of wait it out for later?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to talk about this on two levels, right? Both the personal level that people should find support, go to services like Bagley and to services at their school, teachers, adults, people in the LGBT community and allies who can support them. and to be able to stand up to the bullying and harassment they face day to day. I think it's also important to see, like folks have been saying, in the broader social context, that when you have our education budget federally being cut by millions of dollars each year, the past couple of years, while we're funding the military and the wars abroad, right, we're not going to be able to create these programs for LGBT youth. That we need to see those. We need to see the bullying that's happening being situated in a broader context. And just to say, like I think that the struggle for actually getting more funding for LGBT sexual education in high schools, for, you know, funding for queer homeless youth in this country, which is disgusting that the federal government's not actually providing the money that's really needed for queer youth, isn't separated from actually fighting for basic civil rights that, you know, will improve people's lives as well.
We have a caller who's a high school student in Middleton. This is Alex. And hi, Alex. What do you think about all this?
Hi. Well, I'm not gay or transgender, but my boyfriend is both. And what we have done over the past year is we have written a transgender student rights resolution that we have been presenting to different high schools, both in Massachusetts and out of state and other states across the country. This resolution really allows students to bring transgender rights to their school. And we've been distributing this mostly through our Facebook group, which is Transgender Student Rights.
Alex, thanks for that. Ann Coleman, do you see more of this kind of thing happening, kids taking charge?
Well, I think that's what's one of the really key things right now is that I think groups like Bagley and the youth themselves can actually help to create programs in their own schools. Like, they need to be run by the youth. You know, I think that is going to be what's really key, because I think the youth can speak more to, you know, how it affects them and how it can be changed. And that I think as adults, we need to be listening. And the self-organization of students in schools is one of the mm-hmm. things that I promote all the time.
Keegan O'Brien and Dineja Yancey, you both went to school in suburban Boston, Newton and Wellesley. Do you have any sense whether the problem of anti-gay student bullying is worse in the inner city versus in the suburb from peers and friends you've talked to? Are you more protected if you're a place like Newton Wellesley than if you're in Boston?
I mean, I feel like homophobia and bullying exists anywhere you go, whether it's the inner city or in the suburbs. And to be quite frank, I mean, it's inner city schools that are even more underfunded than mm-hmm. suburban schools that lack the resources to social workers, to after school programs, to be able to have, you know, enough just basically like enough teachers in a class for students to talk to. Right. When that doesn't exist, when that infrastructure isn't there, students aren't going to have the support that they need. So I think it's important to see those issues as really connected.
And Dinesha?
I totally agree. I think that Newton and Wellesley are privileged communities that can have comprehensive sex ed and have guidance counselors that are plugged in, which all helps with when you're dealing with these issues.
Just this week, Newsweek magazine has an article asking if we're going too far in terms of our anti-bullying efforts. Now, they specifically mentioned the South Hadley case with Phoebe Prince, which was not an anti-gay bullying case, but it uses that as an example because some of the kids accused of bullying Phoebe Prince have received harassing phone calls and letters after they were charged with bullying Phoebe Prince. And the magazine is suggesting that that seems to amount to bullying the bullies. Do you feel like there's a potential for sort of a vicious cycle here?
I don't believe so. I think that obviously, it's not okay for people to be harassing people regardless of whether they harass someone else or not. But I don't see that bullying legislation would lead to more bullying.
Keegan, you want to weigh in at all briefly?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a real emphasis in our media and our political system to blame the individuals and blame the people that commit the bullying without actually looking at the bigger problems, mm-hmm. right? Not actually blaming the politicians that are institutionalizing second-class citizenship and discrimination for LGBT people. And just particularly when you have a government that says that someone's not equal to other people, it legitimizes the violence that people perpetrate against queer youth.
I want to thank all my guests. Ann Goldman is a board member. Ann Coleman is a board member with a grassroots gay rights group called Join the Impact Massachusetts. Keegan O'Brien is a student at UMass Boston. And Dinesha Yancey is a recent graduate of Newton North High School. Up next, author Dennis Lehane on Boston, books, and the big screen. We'll be back after a break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.